Good morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. Jewish activist Yosef Begun got a big welcome today as he stepped off a train in Moscow, free, frail, but still defiant after 3 years in a political prison for promoting Hebrew education. Wyatt Andrews reports.
Begun's Moscow homecoming drew a crowd of scores of Jewish activists. He did not disappoint them. Begun claimed he signed no statement promising anything to Soviet authority, that in fact, he appealed to the Soviet parliament by proclaiming his innocence. He spoke as a man unchanged by almost 4 years in prison.
I'm going to continue my activity for rights of my people in this country, in all the world, for rights Soviet people to be in Israel with our people on our homeland, to have rights of being Jew in this country.
The Soviet Jews like Nina Rabin, Begun is a hero.
It's just a miracle for everybody because Begun is a symbol of Jewish community and a symbol of Jewishness for us.
Begun himself gives Soviet authorities credit for his release, saying he hopes it is a sign democracy is at work. But Begun also plans to test the limits of this democracy through the promotion of Jewish culture, work for increased immigration, and appeal for prisoners of conscience who, unlike Begun, are still behind bars. Wyatt Andrews, CBS News, Moscow.
In Paris today, a major Middle East terrorist figure went on trial. Doug Tinnell has our story.
Central Paris this morning, police sirens and flashing blue lights. The Palace of Justice cordoned off like a medieval fortress. Inside a special courtroom, a major international terrorist is about to go on trial. George Ibrahim Abdullah, 35 years old, a Lebanese trained since he was 14 by radical Palestinian groups in the Middle East, charged with complicity in the murder of an American and an Israeli diplomat in Paris in 1982, and for trying 2 years later to assassinate a second American diplomat here. Abdullah could face life imprisonment or be set free in a few years for lack of evidence. It is a major test of French willingness to be tough on a man who says France is not his enemy, only his jailer. France has negotiated with Abdullah's group before and once even agreed to release Abdullah in exchange for a French hostage in Lebanon. Abdullah's supporters were believed to have been behind a rash of terrorist bombings in Paris last September that killed 11 and wounded over 150 others. There have been threats that the bombs could start again, depending on what happens to George Ibrahim Abdullah during his trial. Doug Tinnell, CBS News, Paris.
Over the weekend, French police arrested four suspected direct action terrorists, including two women wanted in the assassination of the president of Renault Motors. That raid is seen as a major blow to the leftist group. This promises to be a critical week in the White House effort to ride out the Iran arms affair. Jacqueline Adams has our report.
After toasting the nation's governors last night, President Reagan told reporters that he was not involved in a cover-up of the Iran-Contra affair. But the president said he would not comment on any other aspect of the scandal, including the fate of his embattled chief of staff, Donald Regan, until after the Tower Commission report comes out this Thursday. Even Regan's admirers, like Utah Republican Senator Orrin Hatch, believe it's time for the chief of staff to resign.
Don, for his own good, and really most of all for the president's good, probably should leave the White House.
Administration officials predict the Tower Commission report will be so critical of Regan's role in drafting a misleading chronology of the Iran affair that his position will be untenable. The Tower report is not the only administration headache. Oliver North's former secretary, Fawn Hall, in return for immunity from prosecution, has told independent counsel Lawrence Walsh that she and North shredded National Security Council documents and internal memos last November, just hours before Justice Department investigators began their initial probe. Jacqueline Adams, CBS News, The White House.
After a week of factional warfare that left 200 people dead, Beirut is reported relatively quiet today under Syrian guns. Bert Quint has our report from Damascus.
Thousands of Syrian troops are deployed in and around West Beirut today. Their first mission, to stop the fighting, was all but accomplished. Only a few grenade blasts and a bit of gunfire were heard last night. The second task is to make the armed political and religious gangs that have kept the Muslim sector in an agony of violence, kidnapping, and economic ruin for 3 years leave West Beirut. The Syrian commanders have given them a choice. Lay down your arms, get out, or get shot. Nobody's giving up weapons, but the militiamen have begun to hide their guns or move to strongholds in the suburbs or the nearby mountains. The Islamic fundamentalists, believed to be holding Anglican Church envoy Terry Waite and other foreigners, are based in the southern suburbs, and the Syrians hope to maintain security there by patrolling the roads in the area. Syria's intelligence chief in Lebanon was asked if his men would obtain the release of the kidnapped victims. His reply, this is is a humanitarian issue that, God willing, we will solve. Bert Quinn, CBS News, Damascus.
As of today, hundreds of military and police officers in Argentina's old junta are off the hook on torture and murder charges. Authorities failed to subpoena them before the statute of limitations expired, but as many as 150 others, including two ex-presidents, are expected to face trial for human rights abuses during Argentina's so-called dirty war against leftists. The nation's business economists are out this morning with a rosy-hued forecast of moderate 2.8% growth this year and a more remote chance of a recession this year or next. But they say inflation will rise to 4%. The dollar is mixed in European trading this morning, while London gold prices started the week $4 above Friday's close, with a morning fixing of $403 an ounce. On Wall Street, the Dow Industrials are up 2.68. Andy Warhol, pop artist, filmmaker, and professional celebrity, died yesterday of a heart attack after gallbladder surgery in New York. He was 59. Richard Roth looks at the Warhol influence on American culture.
The Campbell's soup can that looked like a Campbell's soup can was Andy Warhol's. The idea, he said, came from an art instructor who told him to paint things that were important to him. And Warhol once explained, "I'd been eating soup for lunch for 20 years. Critics called him everything from a charlatan to a visionary. The Coca-Cola bottles, the dollar bills, the bananas, and the cows were sophisticated, shrewd commentary on the culture of our time. Or perhaps they were all put-ons. He was America's high priest of the school of pop, a commercial illustrator who came up with a brand new idea and stretched society's notion of what was art. His silk screens became the symbols of a new wave, art as business and celebrity as art. I like boring things, Warhol once said. His idea was to paint things we use every day and never think about. But his life wasn't like that. He loved glamour and cultivated celebrity, winning more of it than any other serious artist of his generation. In the future, said Andy Warhol, thinking about our culture, everybody will be world famous for 15 minutes. Warhol's fame has already lasted a lot longer than that and won't end with his death. Richard Roth, CBS News, New York.
Death also came yesterday to David Susskind, a pioneer of television's golden age and a longtime talk show host. He died of an apparent heart attack in his New York hotel suite. David Susskind was 66 years old. Time on the World News Roundup, 10 minutes past the hour.
CBS News, I'm Rob Armstrong. The University of Michigan Institute for Social Research has just released a new study about drug use among American teenagers. The good news is that drug use is declining overall. But American teens lead their peers in the rest of the industrial world in drug use by a wide margin, and experimentation with crack is far more widespread than researchers first guessed. Lloyd Johnson is the survey director.
The fair number of young people have had experience with it, about 1 in 25 seniors. And further, we found that it definitely has spread well beyond the boundaries of a few major cities, since about half of the schools in our national sample showed some evidence of crack having reached there.
In addition, just under 51% of high school seniors say they've smoked marijuana, down from more than 60% in 1979. About 91% of high school seniors drink alcohol, and almost 68% use tobacco. More news in a minute.
Monday night on NBC, Raymond Burr is back as Perry Mason in an all-new world premiere movie.
I'm delighted.
When Perry's old flame is involved in a deadly game of blackmail, there's only one place she can turn.
Yes, indeed.
Gene Simmons and Gene Barry guest star in The Case of the Lost Love. Raymond Burr is Perry Mason, Monday at 9, 8 Central and Mountain on NBC.
I'll see you in court.
Good night.
Great party.
Bet everybody loved my world-famous jalapeno dip.
Anything's possible. Come on, honey. Let's put these leftovers away.
Think there's room?
You just watch what our new Whirlpool refrigerator can do. See? All these shelves move up and down. Even the shelves on the door of our Whirlpool refrigerator adjust so almost anything fits.
Hmm.
Even this full bowl of your world-famous jalapeno dip.
You sure you put it on the table?
We're making your world a little easier. Whirlpool.
The U.S. Supreme Court agreed today to decide whether people who are convicted of murders committed before they turn 18 can be put to death. The court will hear the appeal of an Oklahoma case in which a teenager was convicted of committing a murder when he was only 15. A big and potentially explosive oil and gasoline spill in Denver. The story from Paul McGregor of CBS radio affiliate KOA.
Firemen say the spill had the potential for a major disaster. Thousands of gallons of gasoline and kerosene spilled from a storage tank at a Denver fuels distributor, flooding streets and the distributor's plant. Some of the fuel also flowed into the South Platte River. Absorbent booms have been used to soak up the stuff in the river, and earthen dams have been used to trap the fuel on the streets. But Denver Fire Captain Rod Janelle says they still have a very dangerous situation.
There were 5,000 gallons spilled.
Uh-huh.
And most of that spillage is inside the plant itself. We've got about a 12-inch deep spill inside there.
Janelle says they were lucky the spilled gasoline shorted out electrical wiring and set off burglar alarms. He says a good part of the neighborhood could have been blown up. Paul McGregor for CBS News, Denver.
President Reagan told a meeting of the nation's governors today that he needs the state's help in reforming welfare.
We need your ideas, but not just your ideas. I'm asking each of you to help get our legislation through Congress. And I'm asking each of you then to use your new freedom to try new approaches in your state so that we can work together to make welfare work better.
The White House sends the president's welfare reform package to Capitol Hill tomorrow. Right about now on the train station in St. Louis, Missouri, Congressman Richard Gebhardt is about to announce his decision to run for the 1988 Democratic presidential nomination. He's 46, been in Congress for 10 years, and he will be the first announced Democrat. George Ibrahim Abdullah told a court in Paris today that he is an Arab warrior. Abdullah is accused of being the head of a terrorist group that killed Israeli and American diplomats in 1982. Terrorist threats surrounding the trial have forced the French government to put some 3,500 police on alert. On Wall Street right now, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is down about 23 and two-thirds points at 2211.61. Volume on the New York Exchange, 107 million shares.
Tough winter colds. Here's how New England fishermen keep going.
When I catch a cold, it's a tough one, and the only thing that seems to help me is Alka-Seltzer Plus.
I get aches and pains, runny nose, nasally, and Alka-Seltzer Plus works every time.
When I get a cold, my head feels like it's 3 feet thick. Alka-Seltzer Plus helps break through, helps me get back on my feet.
Alka-Seltzer Plus cold medicine. Fast, effective relief for tough winter colds. Use as directed.
In a word, it works.
Now Tidy Cat 3 is a hard-working cat box filler.
Tidy Cat 3. When you go,
One.
It deodorizes better.
Two.
Absorbs like a real go-getter.
Three.
Leaves no dust, no tracks around. Tidy Cat 3.
I'm Ed Lowe. My Tidy Cat 3 is 99% dust-free, so it's cleaner and healthier for your cat. And with my Tidy Cat 3 cat box liners, you may never have to wash your cat box again.
Mikhail Gorbachev wants to see some big changes in the Soviet Union, more democracy, less alcohol, and some tentative steps toward Soviet-style capitalism among them. And so it's not too surprising that the Russian Diet is coming in for scrutiny. The government newspaper Izvestia said today that nearly half of the people in Moscow are overweight. And to fight the fat, a weight-reducing salon will be opening there soon. It will offer diet counseling, exercise programs, and hypnosis. Rob Armstrong, CBS News.